back here for more once again. Welcome to Stale and Naz, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast, located in the slums of Quincy Point at the Mass Music Radio headquarters. Tonight we have a Quincy legend join the show this evening, professional boxer who's fresh off an ESPN top-ranked boxing match against undefeated Gabriel Flores Jr., Ryan the Polish Prince Kielczewski. You know, I thought it was a great interview, guys. What do you think?
Yeah,
for the one guys who were there?
Yeah.
Yep. Love it. Love it.
We did it right after the Lights Out Lang interview. There was a little tension when they were walking by each other. Possible future fight? I doubt it. No, Kielczewski's the real deal.
Oh, talking about his trip to Vegas and, you know, the ups and downs and just the COVID proceedings. And I don't know, we got into a bit of his career. That was great.
I felt the tension in the air when you had those two stallions, those two titans of the industry in the same small little studio building at the same time. I felt the tension in the air, and it you could cut the electricity with a knife, I swear.
It's a fighter thing. I don't know if you've noticed
it. The thing, though, too, is like if those two just started fighting, it's like there's not one thing any of us could have done combined.
Not a fucking chance.
like I'm running the other way just in case I accidentally get swung at.
Yeah, smile.
I'm not even going to try to break it up.
Afterwards, we'll have our takes on what's going on in the NFL season. Not to mention, I mean, the Patriots barely get over the Jets. Do they have any chance this week against the Ravens? We'll let you know on that. And Tom Bay, it's now on watch after getting blown out against the Saints on Monday night. Was that Monday Night Football or Sunday Night? Sunday Night Football.
Yeah,
Sunday. Also, the Red Sox officially re-welcome Alex Cora as the manager of the ball club. We'll have our takes on that. Also, pay respects to a couple people and places, you know, going down this week. You guys are in for quite the show. So let's ride. All right, the city of Presidents, stand up. We got Quincy legend joining the show. Professional boxer who's fresh off an ESPN top-ranked boxing match against undefeated Gabriel Flores Jr., Ryan the Polish Prince Kielczewski. How are we doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Was that good enough intro for you? Or?
Yeah, sure. You could have left out the Polish Prince part, but hey, that's fine.
Oh, yeah? Did you drop the nickname?
I mean, that was given to me a long time ago. I always hated it, but we had a run with it. Hey, whatever.
A king these days, a king. Yeah,
it won't happen again.
What was like the origin of it? Like, how did that come out?
My coach gave it to me a long time ago. He said I fought like Prince Nassim Hamed, and minus the power, obviously, but that dude could crack.
Knockout artist, baby.
Yeah, but that's how it came, and it just kind of stuck, and here I am, 20 years later.
Is there a Polish princess?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Not married, but.
You're fucking around, yeah? So let's start from the beginning. So grew up in Quincy and everything like that. What got you into like the sport of boxing, and how did you really grow into the sport itself? I mean, obviously you're fighting on these networks and everything like this now.
Yeah, my father. So I lived in South. I was born in South Boston, grew up there a little bit, and then moved to Quincy when I was 8, and then that was like the fighting city of America, legal
had
and
on
not
a swivel.
Legal. they had these fights at the Muni at the courthouse every year, and my father brought me there when I was 6 years old, and had a couple fights and stuck with it.
So, like, from, like, how many, like, amateur fights did you have, and how long did it take you to get, like, to your first pro fight?
I had about 150 amateur fights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of amateur fights. Yeah, a lot when I was younger, like, junior fights.
Yeah, stacking the deck, though, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you can't turn amateur until you're 17, but my birthday was a cutoff, so I had to turn amateur when I was 16. So when I was 16, I was fighting anywhere from people 17 to 35 years old.
Oh,
so like my first amateur fight, I fought this dude. I remember he was ranked number 2 in the country. I was 16 years old. He was like 28. I lost to him. I lost, but then I fought him a couple months later, and I ended up beating him.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I remember walking into the Lowell Memorial Auditorium, which is like the place to fight in America. Like everybody has fought there. Marciano, Hagler, everybody. Sugar Ray Leonard in Lowell.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Ward, obviously.
Yeah. What is the like wife of the 28-year-old say when he comes home and said, I just got my ass kicked by a 16-year-old?
You said you fought him a couple years later?
No, a couple months later.
A couple months ago, later.
Yeah. I think I was 17 at that point.
Yeah,
I think
he shook it off a little about walking out. He was ready to kick that guy's ass.
I don't know. He didn't speak English, so I couldn't ask him.
was that a professional or amateur fight?
Amateur. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So your first pro fight, I did a little research. So it was at New York. Like, what's that kind of experience going in? Is it anything different than amateur, I would think?
Yeah. It was intense. You know, we fought in this place, BB King's. Okay. I don't think it's no longer there, I don't think. But it's this little tiny bar. Like, legit, a bar.
Like the Irish pub? Legit.
Yeah, like the Irish pub, like, with a ring set up. So, like, the capacity was, 500. And they sell out every time. It was part of, like, a Broadway boxing series, which they had, my old promoter has. And legit, like, I think the tickets were, like, $200 a piece. Like, there was no bad seat in the house. It was elbow to elbow, like just like something. It was basically like watching cockfights in the Dominican Republic, just like people like all over each other.
Like what is happening out there? Yeah.
That's what you want to pay to see, a barroom brawl.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go to something
in between
like
rounds
that.
Yeah. To see
do
this
they have
guy
anywhere
get
like that in the U.S.?
Again? Yeah, probably not anymore. No, not with this election infection. That was a good time.
And then like
that's a great start.
How many times like you've been on ESPN a bunch of times now? So just walk me through like it was the first time being on like national television. Obviously, it's a big deal. I know you want to downplay it, but like that's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just at the end of the day, it's just a fight. You know, I mean, the first couple times it was like, oh man, this is something else. But then. Uh-huh. You know, it's just, you kind of get used to it.
Becomes natural.
Yeah. Like, whatever. Like,
we're walking out again. Here we go.
Let's get it. Yep. Good time. About to get punched in the face with these little ass gloves. Every time I put on a pair of gloves, like before the fight, it's like, it's not like, oh, I can do some damage with these. It's like, I got to get hit with these things. Fuck. It sucks.
In the other room, like looking at his, like, fuck. Fight that guy. Sucks.
And then, like, going from there, like, obviously big fights and big venues. I've seen you fought in the Sportsplex and the Armory. So like, how does that like catch 22 work fighting in front of like probably your friends and everything like that? Is it like any kind of difference in it? I would think it would be.
I don't know. I mean, a fight's a fight, you know, it doesn't really matter where it is or whatever. I mean, it's not like I've never fought that local on a televised card,
yeah,
where it's like, oh, this is a 50-50 fight, you know what I mean? Like, usually I have the edge, you know, that I'm not gonna fight you know, some top-notch guy at the Armory where I'm just trying to like shake off the ring rust because I haven't fought in a couple years, or you know, it's just like, I'm going there, I know if I 100% I'm gonna win this fight no matter what.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean,
have some fun. Yeah
I'm gonna have some chill. Fun just hang out, you know, drink Bud Lights after. Yeah. Like, have a blast.
Nice stroll down to S6 after, you know.
Yeah, why not?
Is it still fun at this point? Do you still consider...
Yeah, I'm down.
Still enjoying yourself, right?
Yeah. Good. Absolutely.
Now, we talked about a little before we came on here, but you just had a fight in Vegas, obviously with COVID, everything going on. Just run through how the protocol was, like when you flew out there, and like, were you able to like go to any tables? Did you have to like stay in or anything like that?
All right. So first off, so we land, right? And it's me and Chris Trietti. We're on the same flight. So we land, and obviously, so we had somebody that was supposed to come and pick us up. The shuttle pick us up. They were going to bring us to like a grocery store and then back to the hotel. So obviously we're like, we're going to be stuck in prison for the next couple of days. So might as well have some fun at the airport and start hitting the slot machines.
Let's go.
That's part of a Vegas, right? Hey, when you guys stay airplane, you can win some money.
So we hit the slot machines. And we weren't there for a long time. We were probably there for like a half hour. Then we go down to get our luggage. Our luggage is gone. There's no luggage.
Fuck.
So everybody already got their luggage. So we had to like go to like the little office and grab our luggage from there. But I couldn't find the guy holding the little laptop with my name on it. So we call up the company and there's no answer. So I'm like, yeah, we're fucked. Like, whatever. So then I call Top Rank, the woman from Top Rank, that if I had any questions or concerns, like, let her know. So I called her up, and then she called the shuttle company. It was like, hey, we got a fighter, you know, waiting at the airport. Says nobody ever showed. And I was like, oh, yeah, the flight.
No idea what happened.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, the flight was a little delayed. I don't know. So she gets on a three-way call with me and the lady from the shuttle. And at this point, like, I think I landed at like 5:15, and right now it's like 6:15. So an hour has gone by. So the lady at the shuttle company was like, oh, we had a person waiting there for an hour, and then we just left because we didn't think he was showing. The lady from Top Rank got on this lady's ass. Like, it's an hour now. They landed an hour ago. That plane was late. They landed an hour ago. What do you mean you waited there for an hour? It's an hour right now. So I'm like, oh, my God, I'm out of this. Like, I got out of this because this is totally my fault. You know what I mean? Like, 100% my fault. But the lady on the phone lied, saying that they waited for an hour. They didn't. So, all right. So, yeah, that was it. And then we got shuttled over to MGM. First, they brought us to a liquor store.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, because we couldn't. So as soon as we got there, we had a quarantine. So we got tested. And then we got quarantined until the next morning, until the results come back. So they wanted us to go to the supermarket and pick up food that we needed for the night or whatever. So the guy brought us to a legit liquor store with like bear nuts. I still got to cut weight too. Like I'm not near my weight. I, you know, 5, 6, 7 pounds to lose. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing in this liquor store. Oh, yeah.
It's getting
home.
Some dark liquor. Yeah.
It's like, I can't get lettuce here. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like maybe mint leaves?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, some nuts or something. Like, Christ.
So they brought
corn.
Yeah. So they brought us there, and we got some stuff. I got some, like, hydration stuff, just like Pedialyte and stuff. They did have a lot of Pedialyte, which is good.
Yeah,
it's good to have a quality store.
So then we get back. They brought us to a loading dock at MGM, and then had us get out, and then we go to like a specific elevator that brought us up to the 12th floor, and they gave us the COVID test. They're like, yeah, go to your room. All right, cool. So that was my start to the whole situation.
Not your typical Vegas trip.
No.
No, one bit. No.
Especially what you described earlier. But so how long you got to quarantine for? Like 48 hours, is it? Or is it
No, 2 weeks? No. They have a quick process now. Okay. They had a rapid test or something. So I took the test, and then they were like, if they don't call you by 6 o'clock in the morning, then you're good. So they didn't call me. So I guess I was good.
Yeah. So far, so good. We're looking all right. Back in action, ready to go.
And so then the fight's the next day.
No, so I got there on Wednesday. So the weigh-ins were Friday. So I could do nothing on Thursday, like workout or whatever. And then Friday was the weigh-ins. Saturday was fight.
Gotcha.
So I know you say like a fight's a fight, but like obviously that's a big fight going in. Gabriel Flores Jr., undefeated guy. What's kind of the way you're taking this fight going in?
So when they gave me his name, they asked me if I wanted to fight him. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like the kid was only 20 years old. So I was like, I would kill me at 20 years old. There's no way. Like they were hyping this dude up as the next Oscar De La Hoya.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you want this fight? Like, yeah, sure. I was like, just experience alone, I was like, I'd kill myself at 20. Like, even my old ass at 31. Like, because that's old as...
Oh, yeah, in, like, boxing.
Especially in the lower weight classes. Like, heavyweights and stuff, they can fight forever. But the lower weight classes, they tend to be out of the sport by 30. So, yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Like, I know some veteran moves that I can, you know, confuse this guy with, and yeah, why not? So I went in there and tried to do my thing.
Yeah, did the damn thing. Exactly. Definitely. Caught him a few times.
Yeah, early on the fight, you caught him, and like, just kind of run through what you thought. Like, after, I mean, you got him early on. I know we said before you wish you caught him later on, but what was kind of your thought process after, like, oh, I got him? Like, let's keep this get rolling. Is it like a thought process, or is it more of just
instinct? It's instinct. But I remember just like being in there with him and legit, like not lying whatsoever. The softest puncher I've ever been in there with. Like
he was?
Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, is this kid like, when's this kid gonna like throw some hard punches?
Yeah, right. A couple of jabs. It's like, no way.
The kid definitely had a world class jab. Mm-hmm. Like world class jab, like hit me with it. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. but for his punching power, it's like it was not existent. Like it was bad. But he had very good footwork, very fast. He might do all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it kept running.
Light moving.
Yeah, once I hit him with that, I was like, "Oh, this could be an easy night for me," you know. And then, he just got on his bike and just wouldn't stand in the pocket and fight me. I mean, he fought smart. He did what he had to do. And I'm not like being like, "Oh, I got fucked." Like, no, he did what he had to do, and he won the fight fair and square.
So, like in those fights that like are televised, like there's pre-production meetings, right? Like. Where you go in and like talk to the guys who are announcing the fight? Did that happen? Like anything like that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Like what goes into those type of things?
Talking to the guy that I fought?
No. Like the guys who like the promoters or like the people who are announcing the fight.
Yeah, yeah.
They gotta have some knowledge. Yeah, they gotta have some knowledge going in, right?
Yeah. So obviously they do their homework beforehand, but then they asked me questions and all that stuff, and you know, the pre-fight interview, it was on a Zoom meeting. I was in like a little hotel room with, you know, a bunch of people, whatever. It was pretty funny. Like the commentators, they'd ask me questions and I'd answer them not the way they wanted to hear. Basically, let me try to think of like the specific question. So they asked me, like, they said a little bit of what I said, but didn't really say everything. So, like, the sport of boxing is a business. Like, bottom line, it's a terrible, terrible business. Like, fighting's great. Like the fight's great. Is. Yeah.
Straight up. No lie.
What's that?
No lie.
What?
It's 100% rigged.
Rigged?
Did you say rigged?
No.
Did you
say that? No. No.
I could, I thought you said
no, like, no, 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 like, no, 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 not rigged. No. No. No, holy, it's not rigged.
That's,
I mean,
that's WWE.
I was like, no, I was literally no, like, holy fuck, it's rigged.
No, no. I mean, there is definitely corruption, like with judges.
What did you say?
So basically, I told these guys that the promoters are the pimps and the fighters are the hoes.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't really have much of a comeback for that. They're like, what would you do different? I was like, yeah, probably doing what I do now, you know. Have boxing as a hobby and like have a full-time job, maybe join a union or something when I was 18 so I have some benefits or something when I retire. It's like I put 25 years in this sport. Like I started when I was 6 years old. I'm 31 now. So I, like anybody that puts 25 years in something, they at least have a house out of the deal. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you got a pension or some shit
coming in later. Fuck.
Right? It's like boxing. It's like, yeah, you know, this hoe is overused. Next. There's another hoe lined up to take his spot. You know?
My head hurts. I'm fucked.
I got brain damage. Like, I'm about to commit suicide. Like, get CTE and cut my wrists and stuff. Oh, yeah. Next hoe. Yeah, this one's washed up.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a devil. Let's go.
But yeah, that's what I said. They didn't really bring that up in the commentary.
Yeah.
They're like, what's this kid? Yeah. I was like, they're like,
we got an older hoe fighting today.
yeah.
Who's your promoter right now?
Ken Casey, Dropkick Murphys. Yeah.
Because we had DeLuca on like a couple months back, and he's, what is it, the Shamrock, the fighting promoter that Ken Casey does? Is it the
Murphy's Boxing?
So I was Murphy's Shamrock. I was like something like that. So like you have close relationships with guys like Mark DeLuca. We've had like Francis Hogan, the younger guy too. Like, how good is it to see like kids in the South Shore like really, you know, coming out? You have a lot of professional boxing guys.
After that answer, I don't know. Maybe we should help Frank now.
Yeah, join a union. Yeah. This is tough sport.
Build some shit. Yeah,
yeah. Well, he had a shit going on.
When you're young, though, and you're like right now, Frank just fought his third fight. He's 3-0 now. Like,
yeah.
When you were coming up like that, you must have felt on top of the world.
It's great. But you get fed all the lies by these like promoters and stuff. And that's what another thing that I said like to the commentators and stuff. So you get fed all these lies, and that's all they are is lies. I was ranked in the top 10 in the world for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Like I never got a shot. You know what I mean? Like, I never got a shot at a title. So, what they do is that they rank you in the top 15 because the top 15 is when you're eligible for a world title shot. So your promoters, if you have big promoters and stuff, like your 3 years is up because that's what a contract usually is. 3 years is up. Right before those 3 years, they'll put you in a fight with some guy that's, 20-0 from the Dominican Republic, fought all cab drivers. You slap the shit out of him. And they make a phone call to some organization, and then they're like, hey, I just got this guy that just, you know, beat a guy that's 20-0. Can we put him in the top 15? They're like, oh, yeah, sure. Okay. So that adds an extra 2 years onto your contract. So it's like...
Oh, it's a loophole, yeah.
It's a loophole, you know what I mean? Like, you get all these extensions and all that shit. So when I signed a contract with Luda Bella in 2013, after that fight, after my first fight on ESPN,
yep.
I signed a contract with re-signed a contract in 2013. I was still in that bitch. It was a 3-year contract. I was still in that in 2018 until Ken Casey bought me out.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Jesus.
It was a 3-year contract. Wow. It's like,
son of a bitch.
Like crazy.
me and Mike went up to go watch Francis's fight in New Hampshire, and there was a kid fighting some kid who had like 57 losses.
Yeah.
I was like, is that guy just built on CTE? Like, is how much money is he making?
Oh, that was no. That was my boy Slow Mo. He won. I was working his corner.
No, the kid who had like 57 losses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was working his corner. Slow motion, black dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my man. That's my man. He's from Texas. He won that fight.
He won. Okay.
Yeah.
We must have left before, but like that was.
That's my dude. So
I wasn't. I was too busy eating the popcorn and drinking the Coronas. Once Frank came on and won his fight,
it was like 15 seconds.
It was a weird setup up there. You know, if you were there, you saw.
It's
time to get drunk.
So do you know like that kid's deal? Like what? Like why Slow that motion? Many fights? Yeah, like why that many fights?
Just
loves the grind.
Yeah.
Saluting the game.
You gotta respect that. Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he has anything else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Besides like 17 kids and 4 baby mamas. But I don't think he has a real job. You know, so
why not?
So we're back to Derry, New Hampshire.
let's get punched in the face for $1,500. Why not?
So, James, you wanted to bring up that video?
Yes, let's pull it up.
This is a good time after it was just brought up.
It was just brought up. So, 2013, you said that was your first ESPN. So the guy you're fighting.
Soto,
yep.
Is he Dominican?
Puerto Rican, I think.
Yeah.
The hematoma, like, got me. Like, I was like, whoa, that's fucking crazy.
This is the first one.
So that's right at the buzzer of the fifth round, right?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. So what kind of like heat of emotion is that? Like at like obviously you just knocked him out, but like first ESPN fight and everything like that.
Ricky, gotta
that's
love
why
it.
You, yeah, that's why you do it right it. There. Come yeah, on, yeah. You can't tell me that's not better than a fucking 401k. I'll take that any day.
Yeah, guy sitting at home sad with his pension, he didn't have that.
I could be wrong, but in that moment, it looks sick.
Yeah, I know. It was a good time, especially like I was young. I was only like 23 years old. I think that was on my birthday too.
Oh, wow.
Oh, unreal.
Even better.
Yeah, so you like, you know, you think you're
still do, but
yeah, yeah, his first fight on TV. You know what the best part about that is? Is after we're at a bar after, I forget, we're at like Uno's or something attached to the hotel or something like that. Right? So I'm getting all these calls and text messages saying, oh, you're on like ESPN Top 10 and like all this stuff. Me, I don't watch sports whatsoever. Like, I do not watch sports, whatever.
Neither does Magic.
Yeah, I'm like,
sports podcast.
We got better things to do.
Yeah.
We're fighters. I'm a fighter too. Yeah. I fought rough and rowdy.
I'm like, what's that? What's sports on the top 10? I don't know. I didn't know what
that
was.
You didn't even know it like that.
Wow. At that point, I had, like, that was the first time I ever heard of SportsCenter's top 10.
Well, it's a big deal.
Yeah, you made
one. Back then, at this point, it definitely still was.
Yeah,
a big
I had no idea what it was. And yeah, that was the best part about it.
What's the top 10 sports?
Saw that. I was like, I've seen him at Pizza Connection.
Yeah.
I know him.
That's something you can, you can put that on your grave. I was on the SportsCenter top 10. Oh, yeah, like, that's
speaking of which, of pizza, is that with, if you could pick one local Quincy joy, any business to put on your boxing trumps, What are you putting on?
I don't know.
Good question. Good question.
We have a lot of businesses, unfortunately, going out, possibly going out of business. We heard rumors of Grumpy White's, Gennaro's. Any personal favorite eatery or any business you think you want on the trunks?
I don't know. I take them all. Whatever.
Put it on it.
The whole city on my trunks.
Again, yeah.
Well, we got to get Mass Music Radio on there, too. That's or Steel and Naz.
You sure?
I got to ask, we seen you around at S6 before you closed. Like, what was your take on that place closing down?
Oh, I was fine with it. I mean, well, the thing is right down the street from my house. So it's usually an ender, but not the end. Patty Barry's is the end point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you know, you walk the strip and then, you know, you ended up there and then you go to Patty Barry's at, 12:58.
I was gonna say they shut you out at S6 at 12:30 at Patty Barry's till at least 3 a.m.
Yeah, you're good. So yeah, and then I walk home. Yeah. Usually the starting place was Angelo's. Now it's Liberty Tavern, which is very good, by the way.
Oh, very good. Very good.
There's a shout out.
Very good. Might be on the trunks, who knows? Yeah. Stay tuned.
But yeah, before it was, Angelo's. I'd go there, I'd start there, and then see where the night takes us. But definitely ended at Betty Berry's.
So what's obviously that fight was last month. Like, what's the future in your career? Like, what more do you want to accomplish? When do you want to fight next?
I'm down for whatever, just waiting for the phone call to ring. I didn't get hurt. No injuries. Like, I came out fine. So maybe pick up a win or something and then try to get another TV fight.
That's unreal. So tell us about your, you have a gym, right? With, is it the TKO?
Yep.
Yep. So just tell us a little bit about that. It's in Quincy, right?
Yeah. TKO Boxville. We're inside Quincy Athletic Club or Northeast Health Fitness. Yep. Uh-huh. Quincy, whatever. So we're right in there and we're doing like personal lessons. We only have one class a week on Saturday mornings at 9:30. It's very limited because of the COVID situation, yeah. But we're crushing. We're always busy with the personals, one-on-one and all that stuff.
Are you guys train any like amateurs or like?
No,
like
we stay away from. Yeah.
Oh, real. It's more of just like working out. Yeah. Teach them the game. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just,
I might.
Do you remember in Quincy Center, Tony Gennaro and Chaz Waterman?
Of course. Yeah.
The Italian Stallion himself.
Yeah. What did they used to call? What did they call Tony Gennaro back then? Down in the Quincy gym. They called him something. I forget.
Oh my God. It was something.
Yeah. It was like Jimmy Farrell had a name for him.
He'll definitely listen to this too. So I hope.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We'll get the text like as soon as this comes out. I'll get it to you. Because I remember it too. Because they would always call him it.
Oh, it was Zip Boy. It was Zip Boy. Yeah.
Zip Boy.
Zip Boy. Yeah.
Oh man.
I think he was fighting one time. I think my brother and Matty O'D was working the corner or something. He got punched. Like, this was an actual amateur fight. He wasn't a bitch, too. Like, actually fought. There was not too many people that actually had amateur fights that were down there. They were just like gym warriors.
Yeah.
But he actually had a few fights. But I'm pretty sure, like, he got hit and, like, he had, like, a pimple, like, burst. Oh.
That's how you get that nickname, for sure.
It's all over that.
Can't really avoid that nickname.
Just leaking pus.
Thanks. Yeah. You can thank Jimmy for that. Listen, Jesus.
That's tough.
Those videos are the worst.
Oh, man.
Some people get off on watching those. I'm going to
say. Don't act like you're not one of those fucking people. You sick fuck.
I found my fetish after all.
Rachel Starr porn pimple popping videos. Jesus.
Ass pimples.
Speaking of the entertainment business, if we're making Polish Prince the movie, who you casting to play you?
Jesus. I don't know.
On the spot question.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. No. I don't know.
No one off the rip?
No.
I don't think anyone in this room can answer that.
I don't know.
I'm like trapped with Zach Galifianakis. It like has to be Elvis. So like,
the Mike Steele movie.
Easy for me, but like that's everyone else, it's hard.
That's a good choice though. Like I would want to pick him.
Oh, it's not bad. Lady at Chipotle, like
Mark Wahlberg.
Fuck.
The Rock.
Sure.
Mark Wahlberg. It's just like too easy. I was picking the Boston boxing guy.
Come on, dude.
He's the guy who does it. That's his role. That's what he does.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Acceptable answer.
It's worth it. I guess it's worth the question, but like, is it? Yeah.
It's like, who's a fighter? Who could play a fighter and a total white trash Quincy degenerate at the same time? I don't know. Like, it's very.
we gotta figure this out for him.
Oh, yeah. Might be like Jack Black if he loses like 100 pounds. Yeah.
You know, I can kind of see James Franco a bit.
Gyllenhaal, maybe? I don't know.
Or maybe you play yourself.
You think you can play yourself?
I can play myself. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Just follow me around.
You're hired. Yeah. We're filming next week.
Yeah. As long as Patty Barry's is open, it's going to be perfect.
Finish at the Hoffy. Yeah. Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This has been a great time. And,
thanks for having me.
Always nice having Quincy guys in here. And we like to branch around the South Shore and, you know, different people, different shitheads around. But great to have you on.
He called me.
Jesus. I didn't call you a shithead. I just said people.
Wait, before we go, you described the boxing business as pimps and hoes.
Yes.
Is there any way to fix it?
No.
There's no unionization or anything like that?
So there's word on the street that Dana White is coming out with Zuffa Boxing.
Oh, wow.
What's that?
Dana White's boxing.
Yeah. I guess he might be coming out with like a boxing promotion. This is like pre-COVID. So yeah, who knows where he's at now.
Are you a Dana White guy? Do you like the UFC and all that? Are you like into that kind of fighting? Or?
Yeah, like, I don't even watch boxing.
You watch UFC or you watch up nothing?
I watch like...
What do you watch?
No, I'm interested. Nothing. Do you really want to know?
Yeah.
No, just like... A lot of SMS. Yeah. No. Nothing really. I just got to put on the TV and just like on my phone. I have terrible ADD, so I don't really watch anything. I can't watch any shit. Yeah. As long as something's on, I'm happy with it. I don't watch sports. I don't really watch any fighting or anything. Unless I know it's going to be like good fight. I'll watch it if it's like... Like, I watched, like, the Lopez-Lomachenko fight last weekend, a couple weeks ago. Like, that was good. Well, it wasn't really that good, but...
Upset, though.
Yeah, it's definitely an upset. You know, it's funny. It's like, they were asking me in, like, the pre-fight, like, commentary and all that stuff. And they're like, yeah, like, you know, what do you think of, like, the weight class? Like, y'all weight class right now is pretty stacked. I was like, who's the world champion?
who's the guy?
They're like, oh, we got like the Lopez and Lomachenko fight coming up, you know, in 2 weeks or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, like I love Lomachenko, he's unbelievable, like probably one of the best to put on a pair of boxing gloves. I was like, I don't really know Lopez. Like, I heard he can crack, but know nothing about him. Now he's the undisputed champion of the world right now. Yeah. Like,
Shit. Wilder Fury, too. You watch it in the heavyweight or no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fury, I love Fury. I'll watch him just because of his personality.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is just like a sick individual.
Yeah, coming out in the king.
Whatever it is. I don't know if that fight will
happen. His whole story, everything. He's great.
I would love
to. Are you going to watch the Tyson fight? No interest in that?
I mean, I'll put it on. I mean, I think Roy Jones beats Tyson.
Is this fight really happening?
I like that. Yeah, it's in like three weeks. It's like this month.
Yeah, the
Paul, Nate Robinson's weekend. Fighting Jake Paul as well. Shout out, Lights Out Lang.
Yeah,
Lights Out Lang is trying to fight fucking Jake Paul.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And that's
the answer we needed to hear.
You don't want to know.
Different worlds, more pimps and hoes.
Yeah.
Way more pimps than hoes.
The pimps are Barstool and the hoes are
the show out girls where they walk out in between the rounds.
We got a hoe right here.
I'm a hoe. I'm a fucking hoe. There's no doubt about it.
Ryan, thanks again for coming on. Appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Anytime, brother.
Ryan the Polish Prince Kielczewski, man, that was a hell of an interview. You know, when you really relate the sport of boxing, or would you say the business itself, to pimps and hoes, and him calling himself a high class hoe, I thought that was the best part of the interview.
High class, baby, high class.
He said it pre-interview, and I was like, I'm excited for it. I didn't know what he was talking about, but he went into it.
And then
boxing's dark. It's a dark.
And then I don't know what he exactly said, but when he said boxing was rigged, and you were like, wait, I don't think he said that. First of all, I don't think he said that. But you were like, wait, is boxing rigged? And it was just a complete pause, and we were like, wait, what's going on?
Me and Shlomo heard it. We'll hear it on the replay. You guys tell us. Sounds like he said it, but maybe he took it back. I don't know.
The biggest story of all time. Boxing rigged.
How much money we could make?
Yep, we're here. Yeah, might as well get it done.
All right, we're going to dive in to the after part, which is NFL Week 10. And, you know, I'd like to take the floor right now as I get into my bonehead of the week. New England Patriots, 3-5, should be 2-6. You know, you go into a game against an 0-8 team, Joe Flacco, and you only win by 3. You really start thinking about what is wrong with this team. And I realized there was guys that were hurt and everything like that, but there was no excuse to only beat that team by 3. The fact that they were cheering after the game, that this is like it, in order to get their bonehead, like off the statue of being the bonehead of the week, they have to tame Lamar Jackson when Baltimore comes to town on Sunday. Because if they don't, their season's over. Not to mention, they barely squeaked by last week, and I thought it was the most embarrassing thing I've seen all year in the NFL.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. it's definitely up there. That might be, like, a historically awful team.
I mean,
and they scraped it. scraped it.
I guess the point, devil's advocate, though, is, like, the week before, they were literally a fucking Cam Newton fumble away from beating the Bills. Mm-hmm. Like, they could be easily pretty much 500. And obviously, they look terrible. It's prime time. Vegas just controls that game, in my opinion, more so.
Yeah, but and I get they don't have Lawrence Guy, who's probably their best guy up front on defense. They don't have Stephon Gilmore, who's obviously the reigning defensive player of the year. They're missing all the guys on offense. By the way, offense played great, but the defense really, you know, took an L. Besides, I mean, Joe Flacco just throwing up an interception in the fourth quarter there, basically telling everyone that, yeah, we're tanking. We want Trevor Lawrence on this team.
That was 1,000,000,000% a planned pick. Your tweet was awesome. Like, they were like, dude, fuck that. Get rid of the football.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's very hard to tell. Like, is Jacoby Myers, is he legit? Or is there just nobody else, and he just happens to be getting 44% target share from Cam Newton, or, you know, is Bird anything? They have one tight end they're rostering right now, and he sucks.
I'll tell that was the
Bird
bright
is fast.
Bird's good.
There was two bright spots on the team. It was Jacoby Myers. I mean, 160 yards, 12 plus receptions or something on his birthday, by the way. So shout out to his birthday.
Legit.
And it was like the big like fourth and. third and 25 or something when he catches the ball.
Yeah.
He could have just fell down first down and instead he goes left. Like, I think that's something they need to like just fix up and practice.
Yeah.
Things like
that. He does
that
like every catch.
So, yeah,
like,
but you know, the guy finally gets an opportunity and he makes the most of it. So I have nothing I don't have anything to say bad about Jacoby Myers, especially because his last year, I mean, his first year going in as an undrafted free agent. I mean, you're playing for Tom Brady. If you screw up, he's not going to throw to your side again. So now he's he's getting another chance, and I think he's making the most of it. On the other side, Nick Folk, who actually today during their press conference, Cam Newton, it was kind of funny because he likes giving all these nicknames. He called him like the kicker man, but he wanted to call him like the Paul Pierce man because
like, I think it was
because
Paul
he was
Pierce
just man. Like he pretends he's kind of hurt, but then just somehow balls out, which I agree with. He did ball out. He had a game-winning 51-yard field goal. Who I don't think anyone expected him to hit that. I definitely didn't.
That guy's like a jet lifer, and I didn't think that stood up.
I fully expected him to miss the extra point after the touchdown to tie the game, or him to get blocked and like something. I don't know, an Appalachian State block where they get it but actually score to win the game. Something, I don't know. Just those two were the bright of the game. Them going in next week to the Ravens, unquestionable. What do you guys think over here to the right side?
Well, man, as someone who loathes the Patriots and someone who took the Patriots money line down 10, woo! How about them Patriots? Yeah, baby. You know, I was listening to our competition, Felger and Mass, you know, the other day, and they're like, "Oh, it's worse place to be in the middle if you're in the NBA, but the NFL, it's different." No. It's the same thing. You want to have, if you have no chance, like the Patriots do this year, to win the Super Bowl, which, let's face it, boys, your preseason predictions, they have no chance to beat the Ravens, to beat the Chiefs. You should lose. Especially when you look like dog shit versus the Jets, who haven't won a game all season. They should have lost this game. They didn't. But kudos to you for saying, you know, the previous week before that, they were close to beating the Bills. But let's not forget the Bills are still the Bills, and they probably aren't as good as we think they are.
We actually just absolutely diced the Seahawks, who everyone's saying they're the best team in the league.
That's my Super Bowl pick, I still stand by it. I still what the Seahawks are terrible.
Yeah,
team?
I changed. They have a
terrible
too.
Defense.
I changed my pick.
Yeah, they do have a terrible defense, but I think Russell Wilson, the way he cooks, he will always overlap that defense. Even when they were down big in the fourth quarter, they still made it a game. I like the Seahawks, but like I said, Coach Subway. The New England Patriots going against the Ravens, Anez?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I would, you know, you really think about it, and I think all these guys on the defensive guy you mentioned, like Lawrence Guy, Stephon Gilmore, you know, J.C. Jackson, after kind of screwing up on that couple
ugly,
tangents of a couple
game.
Plays.
He's had a
couple
great
plays.
Season, though.
He's
too.
Had a great season. Those guys have to play in order for them to get their best shot, because I think the Ravens' offense, if – the Patriots' best thing of what they've done over the years is they eliminate your offensive best player. If you do that to the Ravens, you saw it last year in the AFC divisional game against the Titans. If you take out Lamar Jackson, that offense is nothing. It's just a big if you take him out. And if they do that, I think they can absolutely size up with them. To Matt's point, they were right there with the Bills. Obviously, last week's a downer of they barely won, but they get by. But if you do stop him, if you slow him down, I see the Patriots being right in this one.
I mean, look at the Steelers. They're 8-0, but they almost lost to them. To
Cowboys.
Seems like every game for them is close.
So like somebody's made the point that Tomlin like plays down in the competition. Whatever, but it could be the same thing. We don't have Tom Brady. This is a question I wanted to bring up. James White, fucking useless this year.
Yeah, way to go.
It's Tom Brady's guy. Brady's guy. Why not trade him to the Bucs? He's a first-round pick for Tom Brady. Like, Tom Brady would tell his organization.
I think the Bucks have enough, pal.
They do. I don't give a fuck.
They don't have a James White. That's my point.
Tom could give us two first-round picks.
Literally.
James White, yeah.
Just, he's useless. Cam doesn't even – he's just completely useless. I don't know.
Dump out. That's all you have to do. He'll get
– Well, hey, Magic, are you available? Would you be willing to play receiver for the Patriots?
I'm always available. I also have a – I have a different take on what happened last week. I think Bill, Subway, you're calling him Subway Bill or whatever.
Coach Subway, yeah.
Coach Subway.
Eat fresh, baby.
I think Coach Subway's pissed off with this season. He knows it's a fucking joke. I think he was he was trying to tank that game.
You want T-Law?
I think he was trying to tank, and he was like, this is honestly so hard to do against this team right now. I was the talk of Twitter. People were like, are we tanking?
Tanking versus that tank. Like, two teams tanking.
You ever see the South Park when they're
trying
to...
And then I think it came to the point where it was like, you know what? I can't do this. I really do.
No, I think the Jets are just that bad that like he couldn't do more to tank.
I think Magic is onto something. I think maybe mid-game, like the plan probably was to tank, whatever. But then Belichick's looking at the shit Jets team and is like, I can't do this.
It's a pride thing. At the end of the day, you know like, what? I'm not tanking, and I think they're going to beat the Ravens now.
Because I think it was like 13.
I thought you were a Ravens guy.
I am a Ravens guy, so I got to see the line before I call it
You know what quote came after the game?
It's a lock for the Pats.
The quote that came after the game, Belichick even said, like, one of his greatest accomplishments in the sport of football, his long, illustrious career, was resigning from the New York Jets.
So he couldn't do it.
He's won six Super Bowls. That quote came, like... Yeah, he like
but
came
I'm
out
telling
just,
you, he's angry. The Patriots have been dealt a shitty hand by Corona. They have. So maybe I think he was pissed off, or maybe not pissed, but maybe he was thinking, like, I will tank this game. I got a shot. I got a shot at the number
Have you
one
ever
pick.
Seen the South Park, though, like the Little League, when they're all they're just trying to tanking, lose? And like, it was the exact same thing the other night. I was
like,
oh.
Hit it into their glove.
But now that we won, he's got to go.
Yeah, watch
the
Patriots accidentally win the AFC East. That'd be hilarious.
It's possible.
If they if they would have beat the Ravens, then like it's like anything's possible.
They're back. If they win on Sunday, they're back.
Yeah. Like it's a big if. Like that is a fucking
think?
Game.
Where are we watching the game?
Grumpy Whites is gonna be electric on Sunday. Let's go.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that. You poor guy.
He doesn't know?
He knows. But either way, keep going.
It's like telling him that Santa's not real. All right, so another thing that happened this past weekend in the NFL is, you know, everyone's talking up Tom Brady, Antonio Brown's coming back, Tampa's got the best firepower passing offense in the league. And what is Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich do? They buy into the passing system. Oh, we're a passing team now. We've won these games by run first, play with the play action that Tom Brady does the best. And you know what? They get absolutely routed by the NFC South opponent. The Saints lose 38-3. And, it was an absolute bloodbath. I think by the mid-second quarter, it was over. I think Tom Brady wanted to go home.
There was 9 minutes left in the second quarter, and it was like 28-0. Yeah. I didn't think that was possible.
And I'm sick of this Tommy Tough Tits, Bruce Arians, just consistently throwing Brady under the bus. Mike Evans was open the entire game. It's like, then why don't you go out there and throw passes to him, you fat fuck?
Do it!
Don't sign Tom Brady. Tom Brady's not going to just chuck up a 50-50 ball. That's what Mike Evans is. He's a 50-50 ball guy. Like, that's what he wants to do. Like,
he's also not going to listen to you, Bruce Arians.
What was up with that duck fart he threw? I saw one replay of it. Like, really?
What was that?
He's like 44 years old.
Did that get tipped?
No.
It was ugly.
Opposite
side of his body.
That was like Ben DiNucci just tossing off. That must have been tossed off.
Don't you dare.
That looked like one of the five of us at freaking Facts and Fields.
That looked like me throwing a righty. That thing was terrible.
Yeah, Britt killed the guy. But my thing was, Tampa ran the ball five total times in that game, and it was tied.
NFL record?
It tied for an NFL record.
Really?
For low.
When that team has been built, I mean, Tom Brady, even like the New England Patriots have been built around a run first play action team. That's how you win games.
I so miss Tom just on that play action, like 3rd and 8, just hitting Edelman or Amendola right over the middle every fucking time.
Antonio Without Brown.
Fail. I miss it so much.
Without
I miss
Where's
it.
Where's Edelman? Oh, he's right there.
Antonio Brown, like his play didn't look that great, but he looked great out there. Like he looked ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay. He better be.
He looked ready to go.
He better be. He was training to fight Logan Paul, so he should have been training for something.
Man, it's tough, and it's fucked the Buccaneers for me. I'm so mad at them, and I'm so happy when we made our Super Bowl picks last episode. I picked the Seahawks and not the Bucs because, you know, a lot of people last week were saying they're the best team in the NFL. Fuck no. And just personally, I had the last leg of a parlay a few weeks ago. It was Buccaneers versus Packers. What happened? The Packers went up by 14 to start the game. Tom Brady comes back. Fucks me over big time. And then what did I have Sunday night? I had two parlays. Last leg, the over in that game. And then another last leg of another parlay was the Buccaneers. -170. Fuck you, Tampa Bay. Fuck you, Tom Brady, who just always decides to ruin my life. Staying away from the Buccaneers rest of the season.
Murder.
Absolute murder. And I think they're frauds. But another storyline within that game, I think, is like, who do you guys think is going to be
the all-time passing touchdown holder. Because Breeze went up by three, I think, in that game.
Well, Brady's going to play another year. I think Breeze might be done.
I think Brady, because of, like, longevity, yeah. Longevity.
You think Brady's going to play another year over Breeze?
Yeah.
I think the season ends, and if Breeze has, like, let's say 10 more touchdowns than Brady, I think that gives incentive, along with only having one fucking Super Bowl, gives incentive for Drew Breeze to hang in there, even though the Saints are in a really peculiar position with their quarterback.
They're in an all in it type of mentality. They want this year this otherwise. I think he's gonna, and that's another underrated team too. That's a Super Bowl contender that people
are just starting to realize
they're getting all their guys healthy back. When a guy like Michael Thomas, I know he didn't play that well the other night, but he opens up so much for that team. Whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook,
defense,
Alvin Kamara. Not even just that. You get two or three guys on him, and then all these other guys are wide open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we need Anton's Super Bowl picks. He wasn't here.
Super Bowl pick.
I think the NFC is going to come down to Green Bay versus the Saints, if that's how it winds up. And I think on the other side, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I think this Pittsburgh team's just ridiculously overrated.
Yeah, I agree.
Connor sucks.
Big Ben's
the amount of money he lost me in DFS. Dying, he was chalk last week and fucking couldn't do shit again.
You just take it personal when people lose you money. That's why
you have to.
You guys got gambling.
I hate it from a guy who hasn't watched a game all year. The Saints have lost me fucking the third most money of any team.
I had to dump a whole gallon of milk in my head because the Saints.
I was all over that money line. I told you, Jim.
The second to last thing I wanted to bring up from the NFL, James, I have to ask you. Garrett Gilbert came out there Sunday. He competed his ass off.
Oh, boy. Bye-bye, Andy Dalton. Give me some Garrett Gilbert all over the Dallas Cowboys. And, oh, man, like, I thought they were kind of in that game. And let me tell you something. No, they weren't. It sucks to say, I really thought when Big Ben, of course, went down with his a millionth injury of his career, of course, he came back, pulled the Paul Pierce, and finished the game and won it. It was just tough to be. It's miserable being a Cowboys fan. We'll see if we keep tanking. Maybe we decide to go after Trevor. I have a hot take though for the NFL.
He doesn't fit in Dallas.
Trevor Lawrence would be the fucking oh my god in Dallas.
Holy shit, Mike! That was the worst take I've ever heard.
in Jerry's world, with Zeke Elliott,
and poor Trevor.
With his weapons,
Trevor,
with
if he ends up under Jerry.
I have a boner thinking about that. Like, it would be flowing.
Yeah, thank you for saying
that. First half though, Garrett Gilbert or Mike Vick?
He looked good.
He was great.
And I don't understand. Ben DiNucci didn't look that bad.
No, he outplayed Tua in his first game.
But now he's gone forever, and we're going to be seeing him working at Lowe's very soon. I don't understand.
Not a bad job at all.
But I DM'd Ben DiNucci on our account, and it was like, yo, please come on. I'm a huge Cowboys fan. Like, of course, got big league.
I saw that DM. I was wondering who was going to
You were wondering who was going to be.
I was like, did Naz really reach out to DiNucci?
He only has like 9,000 followers.
Big 420 guy.
If we can get the star, not star, but the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys on the podcast, we're going to do so.
Deal, yeah. Of course we're going to take him.
Did you DM Gilbert yet?
Maybe I should. He probably has like 500 followers.
He played in the AAF. He's not going
to
big time.
I'll let you know. Before we move on to leave the NFL, Christian McCaffrey is no longer. Forget about Christian McCaffrey. He's washed.
He played great last week.
Yeah?
You think
he's already injured again?
Yeah, so what? He'll be
he's
back.
He's done. He's done. You ever heard of a guy named Peyton Hillis, my friend?
Teddy Swagwater? That's his quarterback.
He got mad and cursed, though. Peyton Hillis got mad and cursed.
Well, McCaffrey's probably on the cover next year. But I'm going to tell you right now, Christian McCaffrey, he's done. He's not going to be relevant. He's going to fall off the wagon very soon. Running backs only usually last in the NFL like 3 to 4 years anyway. They used him way too much. Last year, he had like a million touches. He's had two back-to-back seasons where he had like 1,000 yards. He's washed up already. He's broken.
This is asinine. This is absolutely.
He's a small white guy.
I think Frank Gore has a lot
small.
To say
he
about
is
that.
Not small. Yeah. He is not small.
Compared to the average person, maybe, but...
He's the rich man. We just talked about him. He's the rich man. Rich man's James White. That's what he is.
Oh yeah,
he's big. He's dynamic. He can do it all. He can run between the tackles. He can catch the ball, run where there's no one.
He's a monster. That's a
absolute monster.
You guys, this side of the table is just terrible.
I just prefer. I just prefer to be right, like I was right on the Miami Heat being the Bucks and Alex Cora being hired by the Red Sox.
Yeah,
so I'm sorry,
wins,
I have
count your wins.
I haven't been Western here either. Time Michigan. For
count your wins.
What you guys ever heard of Alex Jones? Guys is right about 90% of the time. Before it happens.
Speaking of being right and wrong, I will leave our NFL segment on this tonight. So this will probably come out Friday or Saturday. We got Thursday night football tonight. Nice. It's basically a pick 'em. We got the Tennessee Titans and Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry against the Indianapolis Colts with Philip Rivers. And I will use this joke again. Yes, and his 9 kids. So who do we have tonight? I will start first by picking the Tennessee Titans because I am tightening yup.
Yeah, I might go the other way. I'm going. Give me the Colts after that. I'm
taking after that.
Tightening up. Just yeah. I was going to go tight.
They say tighten up, but it's tightening up.
I just want Colts.
Don't
go. You got nothing else to say.
Can you give us one reason why?
Yeah, well, give us one reason why.
I think Phillip's going to get lucky tonight, and maybe he's got a 10th.
Who's he throwing to?
His 10th kid.
Breaking news.
He's got one in the oven.
I'll tell you who he's throwing to. Anton, Michael Pittman.
Love him.
That was the guy before season in the blog. Anton gave us in the Steel and Naz blog, top 5.
Go, Malcolm, go.
Fantasy wide receiver of the season. He was there. He hasn't performed up to the par yet, but he's going to show up now. Colts will win. It shouldn't be an even spread, but it is.
Here we go, Jimmy.
Give me the Colts. Titans defense injured. I'm a big believer in Ryan Tannehill. I love Ryan Tannehill. Derrick Henry is Predator from Alien vs. Predator, but Colts are the better team. Steele, what do you got?
Hey, Philip Rivers, have you met Jadeveon Clowney? You'll meet him tonight.
I think Phil's going to be slinging it tonight. I think it's going to be Colts. I think they got it. I think they're going to shut down a little bit of Titan. I don't think the offense clicks at all. Don't think they got anything. Bad day
ground
for Tannehill.
And pound. No mistakes.
Tons of mistakes today. Gotta be everywhere. Maybe 2 fumbles for Henry.
I've been torn on this. The Colts have lost me more money than anybody this year.
Who's the running back?
This guy. Jonathan Taylor, I will not quit him. I am a year too soon, I've realized this, but I will not give up.
Stay strong,
buddy. I was way wrong about the Titans last week. Who'd they play?
Bears.
Oh, I thought, yeah. I was all here, Bears. Moneyline Bears plus 6. I was worried about them covering my 12-point teaser. I was so fucking
I remember
wrong.
The morning show. Yep, I remember show.
That's a little at you.
I was so Bears wrong about the Titans. No, the Titans.
Hey, but that Bears game, they slowly beat the Bears.
They came back.
They came back, yeah. But what happened the week before that? They got waxed by the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow.
That's it being said. And Derrick Henry's due. He had 67 yards last week. He might go off. It's scaring me a little bit. I'm taking the Colts. I can't quit him. I fucking can't quit him. It's a drug.
Boy, so what we're looking at right now is Nass. 4 of the boys are taking the Colts, and I'm with the Titans. I'm tightening you up. You guys get laughing at that statement, but I'm going to be saying it all morning in the group chat because the Titans are taking it tonight.
We'll see.
They're taking it tonight. All right, switching gears here from the gridiron to the ball field. The Red Sox, good call on Jimmy Askins here, renamed their manager, Alex Cora. I think it's a great signing, great well-doing. Anyone who said, oh, getting the cheater back, he learned from his mistakes, sat out a year. I think it's a good call. And, yeah, what do you guys think?
Cheating scum.
No. No.
What more than no?
I guarantee your team cheats. That's a fact.
An unbiased
I hope
take.
He comes back and he's still cheating.
An unbiased take from a non-Red Sox fan.
What are you a fan of?
I think the Red Sox.
Yeah, what happened this year?
What? I'm just for the listeners. Just for the listeners, Anton.
Right, now give his take. Everyone knows what
you're not a Red Sox fan. What are you?
An unbiased take from a non-Red Sox fan.
A Rays fan.
The Red Sox are a bunch of bitches.
Yeah.
They bent the knee to public perception. Fucking White Sox are signing Tony La Russa, who's getting DUIs left and right.
Doesn't give a fuck.
They might win a World Series.
Gave the Tigers AJ Hinch.
That guy should be in prison, goddammit.
The Tigers literally thanked the White Sox for saying letting us get AJ Hinch because we had no shot because he would have signed with you because we suck. Fucking...
Alex Cora, it's like Stephen Drew back with Charrington. Charrington, worst GM of all time, in my opinion.
Underrated. Get off the take. Charrington. Get off the Charrington.
Okay, yeah. I'll go on a tangent and off.
Yeah.
But they bent the knee to Red Sox fans who were all pissed off because they had literally Josh Ocek starting this year, whatever the fuck his name is. If I saw Colton Brewer out on the field one more time on Nesson, just because the Red Sox were on and I have to watch it, I probably would have broke my TV.
That's not Cora's fault.
No, and he shouldn't be fucking coaching this team. If you think he didn't fucking cheat, where's Beltran? Where's he getting the job?
Yeah, he should be getting the job. That's a good point. But my point is, I think you got to bring back the guy who brought you promise, which was, I mean, he did get
it on a silver platter,
but no, he had shit. He overachieved 1 year and he underachieved the next year. I want to figure out what's next. And what's next is you got to name your bench coach Jason Varitek. You just got to keep going with fan favorites.
No, teach him how to hit a fucking barrel in this fucking hall.
Do you think, toe the ball? Shout out to Coach Reed.
Do double down on like the, I feel like that's too much player. Like, I think you need to get like an old,
well, you
nasty,
need to get a
like,
bunch of pitching.
You know, you have to get, and there's no way he'll be a bench coach, but Jim Leland.
Yes,
the guy's in a nursing home right now.
I don't care. That guy
is smoking a cigarette on a balcony somewhere. That guy's having a time.
That's how you get your bench in shape, and then you let Cora be your friend.
He got picked off first base.
I hate
to be a negative Nathan, but I think this is going to be a continuation of the curse of the Mook Bino or the curse of the Betts Bino. They signed Alex Cora to a deal where they can opt out after the first year.
Obviously, they bent the knee.
They
flew in the brass.
Yeah, they need to see if his cheating still works before
But they also want to see after 1 year. I think they're gonna stink again, just like they stunk this year. Cora is gonna be the fall guy.
No, I think it's gonna be based on who they can get out of free agency, who they can get out of trades. Well, I don't think it's gonna have anything to do with Cora or anything like that. It's gonna matter of what kind of if they bring the same personnel they have this year, absolutely 100% agree with you. But if they can get some of these guys in free agency, maybe a NL Cy Young guy in Trevor Bauer. I'm not saying they're gonna get a guy like that, but like if they can get some pitching,
they're not gonna get.
They still have a great lineup.
It's starting to make me hate the Yankees. Just the way anyone who's a free agent, he can just be like future. He's probably been doing that for his entire life.
Everyone that's actually somewhat good at baseball is honestly a future Yankee.
They can't all be future Yankees.
Did LeMay sign his qualifying option there?
It's funny when you guys.
No, he did not. He's a
that's a future Red Sox.
Oh,
maybe a Ray.
We don't need him.
I need him.
We don't fucking need DJ.
Anton, did your heart fall out of your chest when last episode Steele kind of claimed that Arozarena is going to be a future Yankee?
Like I said, he's claiming everybody.
We have him for 5 more years. Fucking, I don't care.
He's like 24. I'll take him.
I'm not worried about that.
Randy is one washer machine away from being on the Yankees.
The Rays don't lose.
It's going to be a highly priced washing machine.
Rays don't lose trades. If they do, that washing machine fucking puts steroids into your uniform and fucking inject it while you're playing. Like, the Rays do not lose
trades. That'd be a hell of an invention. Probably what Alex Cora is coming up with.
TM. I just patented that.
Hey, I hope Cora comes back if he cheat harder this year. I don't know.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Go with a bang. Like, cheat like a motherfucker this year. I want
like how
more than the freaking.
Do you have like an example? Do you have an example of how he could cheat?
The washing machine idea is pretty good. I have all the fans. I don't know. He could get in with cahoots with us. Like he'll have me in the stands making out with chicks, eating my hot dogs, and putting up like
Starts blatantly doing it from when he's coaching. Actually, does he even coach? No, he doesn't even coach third base. But the third base coach starts being like fastball. Slide, like just blatantly screaming it out loud.
Magic Mike with a sign in like the fourth row is
they'll never get me.
That's the road to the next
honestly,
Red Sox.
Honestly, it's not the worst idea, but how the hell are you going to know the sign? You don't even know.
I got to get in cahoots.
It's
got to
switch day to day.
No, you don't know how to read a catcher's
thing. You need to scout like other teams. Be like, okay, like, oh,
that's a lot of work. Yeah, I'm pretty busy. I don't know if you
You have time. You have to like April. Don't worry about it.
You're right.
But then they change their signs literally every fucking game.
Magic will be ready.
Well, without fans, you'd think it'd be easier to hear a trash can. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you're banging a trash can.
I could bang the trash can from somewhere like off in the way distance. They won't even know I'm there. I'll just travel to every game.
You put it on like a roof. It'll carry.
Yeah.
Could Alex possibly help Georgie Springer walk through that door?
I'd love to see it.
I want to see it.
Is that possible?
Springer and Bauer, and I think we're good to go.
They're talking Jack. Oh, yeah, they said they're talking to Jack.
Just get TJ while you're at it. I mean,
they're talking about bringing Jackie Bradley Jr. back, and I like him. But if you get George Springer, I'm all in.
But this comes down to bullpen
starting rotation. They need to get some pitching back. Otherwise, I mean, this has been on since they won in 2018. They lost all their pitching. So 2019 and last year, it's like that's been the necessity. I mean, we had Chris Smith come on months back, and we talked about the same thing. They're going nowhere unless they can get a good starting rotation, people who can finish out the game.
But I love watching Jackie Bradley catch a ball that has no business being caught.
And springing up 20 times in a row.
If you want Jackie over Springer, you're out of your mind.
He's literally a poor man's Kevin Kiermaier, sorry to say.
But his hand's a lot more sturdier. Probably can handle a ball.
Poor man Aaron Hicks.
Well, that's fair. If next year's a bad year for the Sox and it's the death of Alex Cora, he'll join the list.
The list of what?
The deaths that happened this week.
R.I.P.
I'm trying to get good at my transition. Great transition.
Great. So then we roll into Steel Salute. What you got this week? A downer of a Steel Salute this week.
The loss of the great Tommy Heinsohn, who is the voice of the Celtics. I mean, everyone that's watched the Celtics our age, you literally don't like know another voice besides him and Mike Gorman. Just an absolute legend, Hall of Fame coach, player, probably a Hall of Fame announcer. That can happen eventually.
I heard he's a Hall of Fame painter as well. Like this guy, yeah, he's got everything.
You seen some of those paintings?
Oh, yeah.
Elite.
I'm not even a big, like...
No, I could give a shit less about art, but, like, they were very good.
Very impressive.
I didn't know he did that.
I mean, from the clip of him calling LeBron, like, basically calling him a bitch on live TV.
Yeah, yeah. And very close to that word.
He wanted to.
Yeah.
It was there.
The I love Walter McCarthy. I mean, that shit was unbelievable back in the day. Walter McCarthy probably played when I was in grade school, so I even remember picking up on that stuff. The little guy, Isaiah Thomas. Oh, unbelievable. I know they had they had Tony Allen talking on podcast the other day, and he was just saying, we all just trying to fight of getting Tommy points. And it's like, Tony, I was like, T.A., you, like Marcus Smart, all these big, like, you are the Tommy point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? This incredible stuff. And the thing in, like, the small part of it is, like, the replacement of him. And it's really difficult to talk about right now, but I'm not for it at all.
It's Scal.
And I hate it. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah,
that.
It's no brainer. It's Scal.
He did the wrong
thing. No, it is a no brainer. It's Scal, but I'm not, I do not accept it.
He'll never be as good, probably, but it is what it is.
Tommy, only person with, he was a member of the team for all 17, which is
all 17 championships.
Fact. Wow.
And yeah, he has six only rings one. As a player. Only he was on the Bill Russell era.
And that was the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, right?
What do you mean?
That you said only one he wasn't a part of?
Oh, no. It's all of them. He's the only one that is part of all of them.
Oh, really? Wow.
All like, 17.
He's the only person.
Does he have 17 fucking rings?
I'd assume he does, yeah.
He won 10 as a player. I think 6-5 as a coach or something like that, right?
He was on those Bill Russell teams that just fucking won every year.
Yeah.
That must have been such a shitty time to watch basketball.
I think what's...
Oh, my God.
I think what...
Yeah, you're like, not from...
Oh, we get to play Bill Russell.
It goes back to the movie Semi-Pro when he does the alley-oop. They're like, wait, what? No!
I think what's so impressive for Tommy Heinsohn's life is just anyone that's like 60 or older, 55 or older, is like knows him. Oh, yeah, he's that great player. Anyone like 40, 35 or older is like, oh, yeah, he's that great coach. And then anyone younger is like, oh, my God, like that absolutely biased Celtics announcer who brings the electricity and like, oh, my God, I'd kill to grow up one day and get a Tommy point for the Celtics. Like his life and career span throughout generations. And it's deeply, deeply sad that he's no longer going to be calling Celtics games.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just remember my like... 1 year I interned for like this news station in Boston. I got to like get like a press pass and go to the game, and I see him sitting down with like Scalabrini and stuff, and he's eating like this soup, and I just hear it. I'm on the other side, and it's like tomato soup or whatever, and he takes a bite out of it. Everyone's like looking. He's like, "Is anyone eating the soup? The soup sucks." And that's the one thing I like put in the back of mine the other day when I heard he passed away. So I was like, this guy was just like an animal. If he didn't like what he saw, he would call you out. But it seemed like he was just like genuine human being who, you know, was kind of there for anyone who needed help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I seen a tweet that really resonated with me. It was like, I'm unable to count how many hours I've spent with Alex Trebek.
R.I.P.
Tommy Heinsohn and Grumpy Whites. And all of them look like they've seen their time, and it's insane.
A good amount of hours for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Like a lot of hours, more than with most.
A lot of fun people. As well in those hours.
Good people, usually, Tommy. Yeah. Tommy Heinsohn. Tommy, point to you, brother.
Absolutely.
Let it rip for you. I didn't mean to laugh.
We all drank our beverages for people wondering at home.
All right, who passed away next?
Grumpy Whites.
fuck!
Whoa!
Not that I'm. We just got. This is a tough segment. Yeah. I'm looking at the sheet here. I got three RIPs, and they're tough RIP, like big time RIPs.
So Grumpy Whites, great establishment on C Street in Quincy, providing like family restaurant atmosphere with delicious. I'd probably say comfort food. And, you know, they're shutting their doors, allegedly, they said November 21st, but I'm hearing it's this Saturday, which is upsetting to hear.
Breaking news.
I went today, got a burger for the last time, walking out of there. It was tough. It was like leaving, a sporting event for the, when I went to the Tom Brady playoff game and they lost to the Titans, walking out of there, I'm like, I knew that was the last game in his jersey. It was a similar moment today walking out of there. And not to mention the place was packed. People have shown support. I think people are still questioning of why they're closing down.
Did the burgers and food suck like Brady sucked at the end of his Patriots career? Or like, what's
Jimmy?
I mean, that's an easy shot to the gut there. But no, the food food was sensational as always.
Oh, man.
Jimmy, you better show some respect when you come to the funeral. Yeah.
What was the last meal?
Grumpy triple with bacon. Obviously not the 13 burger like this fat fuck to my left. You know, flush it down. I get some gravy with the French fries.
Oh, just right.
Just predominantly.
Whoa. He's off. Gravy with the French fries, and he's calling me a fat fuck. Fuck you.
That was delicious stuff.
I didn't even know you could do that. I'm doing that this weekend for sure. That grumpy gravy is fucking
fire. They like chicken.
What are our last meals at Grumpy Whites? Grumpy Whites, what's it known for? You? Fucking the greasiest home-cooked food. Mike goes, I want a Caesar salad.
I said I wanted to try it out. It's a side season.
It's not too late. Too fucking late. Try it out.
If you got anyone who listens to this podcast, I want a hashtag side Caesar gang. Hashtag started.
Well, that's your side? What's the actual thing?
No,
I'm getting the buff chick fucking
It doesn't
suck.
Fucking matter. He already ruined it. You don't get a Caesar salad.
I might get the whole menu.
At your really last meal at Grumpy Whites. You should have tried it fucking years ago.
I'm going to start off with a side Caesar. And
can't say you're wrong.
I like the French bread, the little garlic bread that they do.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's a great starter.
I got something to add to this conversation.
No, that wasn't on the menu. Remember, that was specially
sneaky,
made for us.
They only gave that to the good people they love.
So one of my college buddies, who I obviously didn't know in high school, he was just like, oh, you know what Grumpy Whites is? I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, Grumpy Whites right down the street from, like, Quincy Youth Arena. And he's just like, yeah, that place sucks. I was just like, how could you say that? I'm like, what did you get there? He's like,
did you kill him?
He said, hear what I said. He said, I got the meatloaf dinner. I was just like,
he killed himself.
I was like, that place doesn't suck. You suck. Yeah, you go there and get a meatloaf dinner again. I'm going to grab you by the neck and throw you down to the house neck.
Yeah. Meatloaf. What a fucking dickhead.
It's hard to choose wrong there. A Caesar salad is top choice, but that's number two.
Like, not even just like Grumpy's like not knowing the place. Like, dude, like, why'd you pick the meatloaf, didn't it?
There's only one meal I've ever had a bad meal in there. The fucking steak. The steak there is terrible. I mean, it was straight fat. There was a time,
clearly.
That's like, me and Anton and a couple buddies used to go every Sunday for like years. I was on like a thing. I was trying to try most things on the menu. And one day I was like, I'm getting the steak today. It was fucking
bad. We literally
like one good bite. I think I got one good bite.
Were you the one that we got add bacon some at one point? Somebody had like no money and give me add.
I think Jared maybe. Shout out Jared.
That is a rock bottom thing. To say.
This is gonna be a tough loss.
That's tough. Can you just give me?
I really
bacon?
Think we Fuck. Now that it's closing Saturday. The plan was to have a funeral there this Sunday. Now we're gonna if you're listening right now, everyone get ready Saturday afternoon. I think we're showing up for a funeral.
Yeah, or
wear that attire, and then we'll head over to
black tie only.
Or maybe everyone check their records. Maybe it's a B&E on Sunday. You never know.
B&E.
Are we going this weekend?
Saturday.
Should we call reservations right now?
Live
on this podcast? Like
you can call it live.
Don't give me reservations. No. My sister said Grumpy Whites is the only place that I'm known as Matt Forbes' sister. Everywhere else, I'm Nicole's brother. So
love it. Let's go.
I want to see bar full. I want to see shots being taken. Wear funeral attire and let's really show up for the Grumpies.
I'm definitely just grabbing a double burger, bacon, and then just for the
kids.
Bedtime snack when I cry myself to sleep, buffalo chicken sub for later.
See, I'm doing that, only I'm adding a steak and cheese too for the next day. That's yeah, kind of how their steak and cheese was.
Yeah,
I'm a big Balducci steak and cheese guy.
Solid stuff.
But
I was thinking of like when I was walking away from there today. Like when it's like the old Yankee Stadium or like some old field, they like pick up the soil and like put it in a bag. I'm thinking about doing it like out front where the sign is.
That
shit could be worth something
like
someday.
You know what I really wish though is my name was on the fucking sign out front.
We get it, Matt. You're famous, all right?
This is big.
But we only had like some people don't know. So we don't. Those pictures are gone. I so wish I had that stuff still. Like now it matters. If that picture is not framed, that framed picture they had of me in the lobby is not in that basement. I'm going to be upset. If I can't retrieve that.
Grumpy Whites closes this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Is there any NASCAR events in between then?
No, I'm hoping to win the Millie on
that's
on
golf,
the Masters.
Let's go. And
I'm going to buy it.
Okay. Let's go.
There is NASCAR probably this weekend.
Save Grumpy Whites. Let's go.
We could go rob a
Should
bank.
Should we start a petition?
Quick and
can
try.
We start a stealing NASCAR?
Yeah, we could, maybe.
Or steal a NASCAR wash?
I don't hate that. That's a good idea. Stealing as car wash.
Yeah, Magic is waiting for that.
We'll do it. We'll do it right in the Grumpy's parking lot.
That is a good car wash. A little loop around.
Yeah. Anyone want to run the last? All right,
Saturday.
I'm not ready for this one.
I'll do Trebek. Or is there any big Jeopardy fans here?
I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I'm not a passionate fan, but I'm a fan.
Alex Trebek, tough loss this week. They're all very tough, honestly.
Oh, yeah,
it's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Trebek worldwide, obviously the toughest, but yeah, that's a tough soldier to go down. He made smart cool. A lot of people have said that. He really did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I tuned in and I knew I was stupid, but
him calling that chick
he made me
a loser,
feel good.
It's like
yeah.
my
a lot
favorite
of great
video
moments.
Of all time.
A lot
like,
of great moments.
Or the one that resurfaced from like a couple weeks ago that like
loses.
It was some like Indian guy saying like he learned the ways of English through
yeah,
the show.
Speak English.
That like as much as you want to call me a sucker, like that was true.
That was recent
stuff.
That was like
that
a
was
couple
like
weeks
couple
ago.
Weeks ago.
Like,
yeah,
wow.
that was very recent.
It was the week
episode.
Before he died.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
that was like the last no, episode.
That's
like,
another thing. It's like you died like a
it was
week
10 days
or,
ago. I think
yeah,
was his last. Like,
and you were on TV just like. Like, everything was fine. Like, what a soldier. Like, unbelievable.
With,
stuff.
Like, the worst cancer in the game.
Yeah.
That's
and
crazy.
And somebody tweeted out, someone famous did, and he's like, Alex Trebek was, like, literally built for that job. He's born for this job. He was perfect for that job. And, like, it's very hard when you, like, there's only a handful of people in this world that are meant to do what they're supposed to do for those certain jobs in the limelight of life. Which is like incredible. Like anybody who has to replace him, that sucks.
Oh yeah, tough shoes.
Who's
to fill,
the guy,
yeah.
Stephanopoulos, that's supposed to replace him?
George, all? Yeah, he's on the one of those like NBC shows.
Yeah, that's
he's
one of those.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, you gotta like change it all. Like you're not replacing
you're
him.
You got a Jeopardy.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying with the Tommy Hines and stuff. Like, obviously, I don't approve of Brian Scalabrine replacing, but he has to replace like George Stephanopoulos or however you pronounce that last name. You know, tough shoes to fill, but I think they should transition to like a funny guy. Like I know Will Ferrell's got a lot of things going on, but
I'd
love to see that.
No,
I think that'd be funny.
Jeopardy's not a funny. I mean, I think they got to find another Trebek somehow. Oh, I don't know. It's
not... Any examples? I threw an example and you just shut it down. How about you?
I think they got to find...
Someone. How about you name someone then?
Ken Jennings seems to be the obvious replacement. A lot of people are liking him. But I think other than that, you've got to find a guy like Alex. You got to find a freaking needle in the haystack.
Other than like Jeopardy and like Price is Right on in My House Early. But like there's probably some dude like climbing through the ranks of the game show.
The guy who did Stump the Schwab.
No. Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
See, that's creativity right there. I like that.
I think you got to bring a no-namer on.
I think overall, when you look in the dictionary and you look up the word consistency, you should see a picture of Alex Trebek. That man showed up to the same job and performed to the highest degree every single day, every time he performed, and an absolute staple of the game show industry and just a big part of everyone's life growing up. I think a good replacement for him would be Neil deGrasse Tyson, like that really smart guy. Maybe Bill Nye, the science guy.
I kind of like Bill Nye. Why don't you? Why are you saying
Neil? I don't.
Bill Nye before.
Neil's still doing science things.
I'm sticking by my sword. I think you bring in a no-brainer, just probably like he was, and see if
you know
he
what. I'll come out of left field again. I'll come out of left field again, since you know this guy is not going to have a job come January. You know he's pretty funny. Donald Trump.
Funny.
Possibly. He's got a lot of humor. He's an entertainer.
Naz might get Bonehead of the Week right now.
Yeah. For what?
You're disgracing Jeopardy.
Give that to Jeopardy. I brought up two ideas and you brought up shit.
All you do is yell at me about nothing.
Give Naz. You don't have anything to back up your source. You just say, oh, no, that doesn't sound right.
Give Naz
credit.
Yeah,
that's right.
Give
no
Naz credit. Donald is going to be have an open schedule very soon often. But one thing I always wish that happened, I wish he never married that, what's the former first lady's name, Melania, whatever? I wish he never pretended to actually want to marry that woman and actually marry her. And we had, like, the first ever bachelor president. And we'd have, like, The Bachelor, but in the White House, and, like, set, like, on MTV1 or
that's
VH1.
A gold idea.
And have
that's
it, like,
good.
And have it on, like, MTV and Trump, like, you know, The Apprentice, but, like, just have it, like, a romantic show. Like,
you know the ratings that would get, like, actually,
the best
like,
show of all
like,
time.
The Bachelor.
Well, highest rated show of all time.
Combined with people interested in politics,
that's
combined
genius.
With people.
Trump just laying the wood down on all these shorties, like, trying to find the next first lady. Because not only are you trying to win the show and win Donnie's love, you're becoming the first lady of the United States.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
a big
the,
one. So
yeah,
that show
woman.
Would be nuts.
That's like
I tune the fuck into that.
That would get the highest ratings of all time.
Likewise, if a woman becomes president, I tune into if she went in single to say, you know, say
does,
around.
Does Kamala Harris have a man? Because I'm a little.
She might not. She might be a good candidate for your show idea.
Did you see that thing on Siri?
Why do they all have men?
Like, it was worth shooting a shot.
If you talk to like Siri, it's like who's the president of the United States, and it said Kamala Harris. Did you
see
that?
Yeah, I did.
That
see
was
that.
A
I
weird,
that.
And I did it, and it worked.
I missed
it was
it.
Weird.
Like when I saw that, it was.
Like you asked Siri, it's like, who's the president?
Ask
of the
Alex
States,
Jones
like
who's the president. He'll tell you the answers.
Was it a picture of Kamala the
I
wrestler
love that
though?
We got him twice.
No, it's
on
Kamala.
It's beautiful.
No, it was how old? You had to ask how old is the president of the United States, and it was like Kamala Harris.
Get him on the pod.
Old. It was weird.
Illuminati.
Do it.
Yep.
Well, in all seriousness, RIP to all three of those.
Yeah, that went off the rails.
Two people and Grumpy Whites, we'll miss you, but you're not as important as fucking Tommy Einstein and Alex.
Debatable.
Trebek, no, not debatable. You can get a good food anywhere, but we will be there Saturday. Saturday, we will be there. And if you're stealing NASA.
One autograph.
If you're stealing NASA,
will
you
guys
better
be
there?
Too. Will you guys be there?
Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be
who
there.
Who else to talk about?
I'll be there.
Be there? Okay.
We'll fucking be there.
I thought it was a Sunday. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I hope the fans will be there and they'll show out and we'll have a great day. And
the video tribute I made for Grumpy Whites is doing really good on the social media. So we need to have a lot more businesses go out of business so we can fucking
promote the businesses going
it's
out of
not
business.
It's not bad for our non-for-profit business. It's not bad for us.
My last subject I had here was the Masters are this weekend. Anyone had any picks? The first day was today.
Yeah.
I just have one note on it. Tiger Woods might be back.
I was back. I wanted to yell it out, but you took it from me. Tiger Woods, sure.
I know Anton's got a lot riding on it.
He hit a 68 today. Tied for his best like first round of like
Like, and I think he's done it like four other times.
What color is he wearing? You wearing red?
It was somewhat. It was like a little.
Never red. Yeah. Sunday. Oh, Sunday's only.
Red. Sunday's red. Only.
That's the winning shit. That's the winning shit.
Three of the four times he's hit a 68 on the first day, he's gotten the green jacket. So, like, the odds looking pretty good.
I golf's taking a turn. I have Xander outright. I have Tony Finau outright. I have, I think, Bubba. I love Bubba. Outright. And then I have, like, Xander top five, Finau top five. I think I have Westwood in the top 10, and I got bets everywhere. But I think it's just going to come down to a Ram, DJ, JT, just battling it out as usual. Those are the top three golfers in the world. It's just, it's changed. It's not Tiger in the world. It's just, it's Tiger's having a good day, so what? These guys are better. Justin Thomas, I think.
So what?
I think. He got. He did like, win. It the got last too dark, one. So he's. But Justin Thomas was minus five through 10 holes, so he's on pace to get to, you know, minus eight on day one.
Who the fuck hit that shot that pulled
John Rahm?
That Jesus Christ,
John Rahm,
ball on the water, roll in, do a
four. It was a practice shot. That was insane. Yeah.
Science has no answers for that. That broke.
Yeah, it didn't start till today.
I didn't know either. I was like. I thought that was fake.
Everything that we know as human beings is a lie because of that shot.
Tiger was like
everything.
That shot was too good to be true.
Yeah,
Tiger was
on that same hole.
As someone who's hit a hole in one before, Anaz, what went wrong on that shot, you think?
What went wrong?
For Tiger, yeah. Like, yeah. You hit a hole in one before.
I mean, he's hit about 30 plus hole in ones. Like, no one's on that level.
I think your hole in one is more recent than his. So
I mean, you set me up for glory there. I'm not even going to touch that.
You're not going to give in?
No, I'm not giving in right now. What I will say is I think he knew it wasn't going in from when he hit it. Because he's like, oh, like some people are like, maybe we'll go in. Like even John Rahm, he's probably had like double-digit hole-in-ones. When he like Sarko threw, he's like, that's probably a great shot, but it's not going in. And like somehow it like changed effects of like, holy shit, that actually is going in.
Oh, yeah,
in.
There's no fucking way he knew that thing was going in. No way.
No. But Tiger, how it was only like 3 feet away, he's like, yeah, it's too good to be true.
John Rahm was like, watch this. I'm just going to skip this ball.
Yeah, he just wanted to skip the water. That's all.
And
then
it just curved. I really don't
know. It broke the world. Like, it fucking...
Sick shot.
Yeah.
Sick
probably
shot.
The
it's
best
not getting as much
ever.
Credit as it should. I feel
it literally
like.
Is like the best
I think
golf
it's because it was practice.
That doesn't fucking
No, I know, I know. I guess. I don't know. I saw it and I gave a shit about it. I was like, that's a nice shot.
No, he's a that's a nice
I mean, that guy's a phenomenal.
I could do that if I tried a million.
Yeah, I could practice for the rest of my life. I'm
never
going to
happen.
You know what I mean? Not a chance.
I don't think most people could do that.
No.
Well, Paul Casey's leading the field right now,
Justin Thomas is only through ten holes because it got
rained out for like 2.5 hours this morning, so they're gonna get it going tomorrow morning early.
I think we should get live Valentine updates throughout the weekend. That would be good content for the people.
He's like, maybe.
You gotta go live.
Well, you're saying this is a big one for you. You're talking Millie Maker and telling us we're going to get booth seats at the Super Bowl.
I never said we.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't give a fuck.
Whoever would reply.
If you get the Millie, like, we should be able to watch you have to work through it the rest of the weekend, I think.
Well, last if I'm close, time. maybe I'll let you tune in on Sunday.
And if he wins that money, we have to go
this
get
guy's
a
not
we
dedicated.
Have to go get a room and that.
No, I'll buy you guys. I'll pay for everybody to come down to Tampa.
We're already gonna be there for Lights Out Lang. We're already gonna be there
in a penthouse hotel.
Maybe
I'll stay in a mobile fucking.
All right, you're out. Fucking talk your way
I'll
out of
a
it.
I'm out.
Keep speaking.
I'm gonna be grinding with Trailer Park Boy. I'll stay wherever the rough around fighters.
Hire Magic Mike when you bring back Grumpy Whites, please.
No, he's
Grumpy
White
is dead.
I already promised Palooza.
You killed
him.
Yeah, so would have been a great bouncer.
I was just saying, I think the people would enjoy watching you have to go through the ups and downs of the Masters this weekend.
But if I'm just down the
tonight,
what's fun about that?
Well, actually, you'll see this tomorrow. But when the Colts go down,
Colts are winning.
I will shine.
You know who else is winning? Addison Rae. You know who Addison Rae is? Magic.
What's the Western Michigan quarterback?
Porn star.
I said that.
She's getting lessons from Tony Hawk. What are your thoughts?
Love that.
On what?
Skateboarding.
How I like
she
it.
Pay?
I like
is
it. I hope the porn
is it
coming.
A lesson to a lesson?
I wonder if Tony is getting some kind of side deal that's not cash, honestly. I'm curious.
Wait, like, how good is she? It's like,
dude, he's
it's
fucking like,
can
Tony
she
Hawk.
Can she do like an ollie? Because I can do that. Like, I can hop on a skateboard and do like a shitty ollie.
Calling
I
you on that.
You can't.
Calling Tony you on that. Just like you kick those field goals, show, right, pal?
To come.
Let's see. Do we have a skateboard? I'll do an ollie. I'll do three of them.
Addison Rae is an American dancer. Where are you getting porn star? This girl's not a porn star.
Like, yo,
she's changed up.
She's 20 years old.
Does she have her own OnlyFans? Probably.
She's young. I don't think this girl's. I TikTok, swear. She's TikTok. A TikToker.
Yeah, definitely.
Porn star TikToker. Same thing.
They're getting hot take, that hot line's take, hot getting take. Close. It is.
The whole world's going porn.
Yeah.
Deal with it. You know, we'll shout out to Kozeski about the pimps and the hoes.
Yeah, we'll end on that, folks. Want to thank you for tuning in, as well as, you know, Ryan the Polish Prince Kozeski for coming on the pod. Mike Steele's not going to stop laughing, but new t-shirts are in. Get on that.
Back to neutral and new Steel and Nas t-shirts with our faces on them.
Oh, I like that.
Mm.
Oh.
Mm.
Oh. Again.
Mm.
That's all from Steel and Nas. Nas Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast.
Saturday.
Be safe out there.
Saturday funeral. Honestly, really come out. They're telling you it's the 21st shutdown for Grumpy's. It is not.
No,
this is going to be
PSA,
out tomorrow.
PSA.
Be there Saturday. The boys will be there, and it's going to be a fucking great day.
One love.
Saturday funeral, Grumpy Whites, and then whatever the opposite of a funeral is on Sunday morning for the Steel and Naz NFL morning gambling show.
That's what we call a funeral, James.
A funeral. Sunday morning. Everyone tune in. Send us off, A-Naz.
One love.